first job out of college is critical, kid. You either take a step down the correct career path or you fall into a life-sucking abyss. Mm. So it all depends on how you respond to my next two words. Impress me.
Impress me. I've been thinking a lot about those two words over the last week. Impress me. Impress me. We've taken a little bit of a break, right? We haven't had many podcasts because I have to be honest, listener of the show, I'm really bored by what has been going on recently in the pinball hobby. We kind of called it that January was going to be this month where a lot of promises, a lot of deliverables that were supposed to happen were not going to happen. We still have no alien shipping. We still have no Magic Girl. We still have no more information on any of the other new pins that are supposed to be coming out. We've heard some things that are going on. But again, January, it's kind of a dead month. So what I want to talk about on this episode of Canada's Pinball Podcast is creativity and pinball, and how creativity is being applied to pinball machines in 2016 and 2017. And I want everyone to think about one singular thought. Are we getting enough creativity in pinball nowadays for how much money we are spending on pinball machines? That is what I want everyone to ask themselves, because I think we'll come to a conclusion at the end of this podcast. All right, so why do I say creativity? I say that because I think pinball is falling into this place where creativity is taking a backseat to certain things that are important, maybe, that are helping move pinball forward, but aren't necessarily, to me, what makes a pinball machine stand out because of creativity. And here's what I mean by that. I believe that pinball is a world under glass. I believe that when you look at a pinball machine, you should be impressed by what you see. There should be items on that pinball machine that truly wow you. And the magical pinball machines, the classics, the ones that everybody really wants, are the machines that tie together the following. They have a really fun theme. They have a really great art package. They're really fun to shoot. They have a lot of magical things going on the playfield, right? There's things that are, the ball interacts in a way that is just special, that it feels rewarding. Okay, you add up all those things together. And I will say this, yes, and code, there is code that is makes the game fun as well, because code is sort of the software that ties everything together. And if you add all those things up, then you have, I think, a great fun machine. You have what pinball should be. And nowadays, with prices being from $8,000, $9,000, $10,000, $15,000, the fact that we are not demanding all of those things being top-notch is ridiculous. And I think the turning point, and the turning point for a company like Stern, shit artwork, then Game of Thrones came out, and it was like nobody wanted it. Nobody wanted it because it was so damn fugly. And if your game is just ugly, you're dead on arrival. You're dead on arrival. So, you know, when we look at machines nowadays, Batman 66, artwork is really colorful and popular and does the theme justice. Ghostbusters, probably the greatest art package Stern has ever done. Aerosmith, you know, when these games are beautiful, they immediately excite us. They immediately draw us in. And look at Alien. The art package hasn't really excited people. It hasn't blown people away. The Alien LE is still not sold out. I firmly believe that that is 100% because of the art package. If it was just visually beautiful, people would have gone in immediately. And you know why I know this? And there's one man who knows this more than anybody. And that's John Papaduke. Nobody knows how to make a visually stunning game better than John Papaduke. And I want to ask, who is the next J-pop out there? Who is the next person that can go through a pinball machine and just make it sing visually? I'm not talking about getting it to work. We all know J-pop struggles with that. I'm not talking about the ability to finish a machine. I am saying John Papaduke is a creative genius. Genius. The artwork alone. The man should be creative directing every project. Imagine if John Papaduke was art directing Alien Pinball. Just imagine. Not designing it. Not art, you know, not doing anything else. Imagine if he called up his artist who did the cabinet art for Magic Girl and did the cabinet art for Houdini. They, by the way, those are the same artist if you look at the art. Imagine if that was the way the art looked on the cabinet of Alien. And then let's go to the playfield, right? Everyone loved Ghostbusters. You guys would not have Ghostbusters and would not be in love with the art package if it wasn't for John Papaduke. Okay, let me repeat that. John Papaduke is the reason why you have a beautiful Ghostbusters machine, because he discovered Zombie Yeti and applied him to pinball. Before that, the only decent hand-drawn art we were getting was from Donnie on Metallica. Everything else was garbage. Okay, so creativity in art is really important. And look, I think we've turned a corner. I think we're going to see more and more money invested in art. And that makes me happy, because I believe pinball is an artistic thing. It is a work of art. Okay? So, after art, when we get to the play field, that is where there is, I just think, a real lack of magic and wow factor going on in machines across the board. And I think people are accepting stuff that they really shouldn't for the amount of money people are spending. If we were to look at, let's look at the last like few releases and ask ourselves which one of these machines really feels like they took a lot of time to design some wow elements. The ball interacts with stuff in a really amazing, unique way. And it just has that thing that impresses us, right? That impress me. Okay, let's take these following machines that we've seen. Let's take Batman 66. Let's take Aerosmith. Let's take Ghostbusters. And let's take The Big Lebowski. Am I missing anything? Okay, let's throw The Hobbit in there as well. I want to make sure I don't leave anything out. I don't want to bring Rob Zombie in there, because you know what? Just immediately, it doesn't have anything. We all can agree that Rob Zombie does not have any of that mech or any of the wow factor going on with the playfield. All right, so if we go down that list, let's start with Batman 66. What in Batman 66 on a playfield level wows you, impresses you? Okay, so we have the crane on the right side that we've seen before. Yeah, cool toy. Seen it for years. Not really originally implemented. Doesn't make any sense whatsoever with the theme of Batman 66. They threw some stickers on it, threw the penguin at the construction site, and that's about it. And the relation to Batman is silly. Okay, so from there, we move left. Nah, what? What do we got? We got a ramp. We got that big mech, right? The only other thing that's like the big interaction with the ball is that rotating mech. And for the life of me, I don't think I've ever seen a mech so big, so complex, that delivers so little joy and entertainment and wow, right? It's like having this ginormous schlong and you can't even please a woman. The thing is just, it just rotates. I keep trying to look at this thing and wondering why the big hoopla. It just rotates to targets and to a lock ball and ball scoop, I think. You know, it's just like three kind of average pinball interaction things that move around and with some toys stuck on top. So I don't think that's that impressive. And as much as I love Batman 66, man, I would have taken a bat cave that you had to open up by bashing it. You know, like the way the Batmobile and all of a sudden like the boulder and the bushes and they move and he goes into the bat cave. How can you not have a lower playfield on Batman? An entire theme where it's about going into the bat cave and the bat cave is underneath. The fact that there's not like a lower playfield for $15,000 where you can get the Batmobile is absolutely ridiculous. Okay, so I think Batman 66 is a theme that is a home run. I think the LCD is great. We're going to talk more about how I think LCD is distracting people from real pinball magic. But I think Batman 66, if I were to grade it, I'd give it like a C in terms of magic. Let's go to Aerosmith. Aerosmith, again, art package blows me away. I think it's gorgeous. The LE Premium has that little upper play field. You got that the Jester box that collects the balls and then spits them out. But the problem with Aerosmith is as and everyone said it, we've seen this before. It's a recycled Kiss machine. And so while the art package is amazing, I think the main mech is pretty cool. But I just, again, I don't think there's anything on there that just feels like it's the culmination of a designer's dream. And the designer himself is getting so repetitive that it just seems like he's mailing it in. So again, I think Aerosmith is mediocre at best when it comes to magic. What else we got? We got, let's talk about Hobbit. Hobbit is this machine that the theme, all right, the movies didn't do well. The artwork on Hobbit, I think, is still gorgeous. I think the machine is stunning looking, so it pulls us in with that. But I think we all agree, when you look at what the ball interacts with on the Hobbit, you've got the pop-ups, right? You've got the targets, the trolls, but the whole thing with the dragon just being a talking puppet really will always solidify this game as just being kind of like disappointing. I can't think about the Hobbit any other way than the failed potential. And I get the Hobbit code is probably the deepest, most complex code that Keith has ever done, and the code saves the game in a way, but it's saving the game, right? It's not making an incredible game even better. It's saving the game. And whenever code has to save a game, I think we're in trouble. And we see the same thing with Batman. It's like everyone realizing that the way the game, like what the ball does in the game, is not incredible, so we need the code to save it. And that's something really important. I have a machine in my living room that has hardly any code. Tales of the Arabian Nights. And it's amazing. It's so much fun. I love it. It hardly has any code. Code doesn't need to save it. The game is awesome and fun to shoot on its own. It's a world under glass on its own. It doesn't have LCDs and code and all stacking of modes. It doesn't need any of that shit to make it magical. And that's where I think we're stuck nowadays, is we're relying so much on code to save what I believe is a lack of imagination and creativity from the companies that are out there. What are the machines that I talk about? So Hobbit, we got that. The Big Lebowski. Now, I will say this. I think the Big Lebowski is the most creative machine that I have seen in the last few years. I think this machine has the wow factor. I really do. You can't tell me that bowling alley underneath the playfield is not one of the coolest things you've ever seen ever in a pinball machine. And for those of you who say it gets old fast, it's boring, it's not that cool, just leave the room. The child in you is dead. They built a bowling alley mechanism and stuck it inside a pinball machine. Wow. Holy shit. That's incredible. I also love the upper playfield in that game where you bash the wall and the car comes out. I love the interaction with the ball. I love the ramp, and it looks like the ball's coming out of a bowling alley's return mechanism. It's just so cool. I think Lebowski is wow. I really do. I think the art on the playfield is great. It probably feels a little dated now, right? It could feel a little bit better, more refreshed. And I think the cabinet art, to me, is really boring. I do. It's just a gradient with the title. I think they could have gone a little bit further on making the cabinet a wow. But for all intents and purposes, that's my favorite magical new pin that I've seen in a long time. So why do I think creativity is being stunted? Well, I think one reason creativity is being stunted is there's just a lack of new designers. It is just so much of the old guard making machines over and over and over again. And a lot of these guys, if you're at Stern, the pressure's on you to deliver within a timeline. So I think these guys don't have time to really sit and think about it and approach it in a way that allows them to let their imaginations run wild. Not only that, right? It's not only the Stern timeline. I also think they don't have the money they don't have the budget and they don't have the support to think about games and build games the way they were built by Bally Williams. I really don't think they do. You can't tell me Stern's going to let someone take a few months and design that pinball mechanism like the way Lebowski has the bowling alley. The pin I forgot. Sorry, go back to his Ghostbusters. Sorry, I forgot one because I was thinking about design. Ghostbusters, the magnetic slings. Wow, right? Cool. New. Slimer mech, kind of interesting, keeps breaking. Other than that, I think Ghostbusters is just wow. The art package alone is what everyone loves so much, and the music and the theme. I still think the playfield could have had more of Ghostbusters magic going on. The fact that like Stay Puft is just doing the Macarena in the upper right of that machine and it doesn't interact with the ball, I think is kind of silly. And I also think there should have been more attempt at creating more of like a hologram ghost that pop up that almost feel transparent. Like the Ecto goggles, come on, that's not that creative. Anyway, let's go back to what I was saying about designers not having the resources and the support to make games be worlds under glass anymore. I don't think they do. And that's why I think we're seeing more creativity come from the boutique industry. And that is really the only chance boutique has to succeed, because Stern's going to lock down all the great themes and Stern's going to lock down the volume and the speed at which new pins come out. So boutiques really need to introduce themselves with things that blow us away. And, you know, let's look at Alien Pinball. Do you think Alien Pinball has like that wow factor? I've already said it. I don't think Alien Pinball has the artistic wow factor at all going on. I keep thinking if we handed that over to other artists that are amazing, the LE would have sold out by now. But let's not even talk about the art. It is what it is. Let's talk about what's on the playfield. You got the big Xenomorph head that the tongue slowly comes out like a pencil and grabs the ball. What else on that machine? What else on that machine do you look at and say, wow, look at the way the ball interacts with that, or look what it does there? I don't know. It's got a few ramps. It's got the magnet in the middle, and it's got the alien head. But I don't see anything else that feels truly original. Now, let me say this. I don't mean like there's not going to be original things going on. What they were going for was this immersive experience. But here's why I think creativity in pinball is relying on the wrong things. I think creativity now is all about LCD screens and code. I think those are the two things that so many designers, so many pinball manufacturers are focusing on, because they've listened to the wrong audience about what to do to make pinball special. They keep listening to the 20 or 30 tournament players that are out there that keep screaming about code, 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 and the people that are obsessed with like getting the code and the modes and the scoring right, and they're not listening to what I think are the majority of pinball players out there and collectors, which are the people that just want beautiful things and want to see the ball do fun stuff, and if that happens, they're fully satisfied, right? Those people could give two shits about getting to wizard mode, about how the scoring works, about how the modes stack up. They couldn't give two shits. Yes, and there is a group in the middle, and many of those people in the middle who care about both. I get it. You're on pin side. I already can hear you talking now. But for most of us out there, without the wow, the physical wow factor of pinball, I don't care what your code is. I don't care what your LCD is doing, right? And so when Andrew was changing Alien and removed the Queen airlock and put an LCD screen in place of that, I really just, that to me symbolizes where we're going with like creativity, is people just keep dropping LCDs, which are super fucking cheap, which cost nothing, people, nothing to put in a game. They keep putting these screens in there and thinking that that is like, that's a new creative thing. That makes the game more fun and more enjoyable. And I couldn't agree less with those decisions, because give me stuff that the ball interacts with. Make the ball do something special. I don't want to see more screens. The fact that people gave Alien a pass to a machine that now has 1, 2, 3 LCD screens on it. 3! Why? And the ball really only interacts with, what, one mechanism, two? There's another magnet, I think, around the pops. But that's it. That's it. Why aren't these designers thinking more creatively about these machines and putting stuff in them that just wows us? So let me give you a couple games that are in my imagination, and if I was designing them, how I would approach them. Jaws. Okay, Jaws is like a theme we all want. I want a big shark head that comes up from below the playfield. All right, it has to. The shark comes up from below the water. And the final mode in Jaws should be this scene where the shark head pops up, but only at that moment when it pops up does it actually have the scuba diving tank in its mouth, right? The rest of the time the shark pops up to bash, it doesn't. But the final time it's got that scuba tank, and you get one shot to shoot that scuba tank, or else you lose. Game over. And whatever happened to that? Whatever happened to giving people one shot to hit it? If not, your game is over. The tension in that shot would be increased. How many video games have that? You have to make that jump or you fall and it's like game over. I think, and we're going to talk a little about that in a little bit, but about the creativity and approaching even how games are coded uniquely. So the other game that I'm just thinking about in my head is Star Wars. And I know Star Wars is coming out, right? It's a Richie Pin. He's all about ramps. He's all about flow. I already know like one of the mechs is on it. I'm not going to share that with you. But if I'm designing Star Wars that's based on the original trilogy, there better be this, right? You talk about how to create a mechanism, create it with code in a way that excites. There better be a Death Star that has a shot that is the following. So remember the movie? What makes your blood, you know, that chilling moment in Star Wars A New Hope is when Luke is told by Obi-Wan to turn off his missile guidance system and to use the Force, right? So he turns everything off, and he has to shoot the missile using the Force. I think in Star Wars, everything should be going crazy as you're heading towards the final Death Star shot, right? Lights are going, you know, turret guns are going, all these things are happening. When you get to that shot, the machine needs to have just Obi-Wan's voice saying, use the Force, turn off, Luke, you know, turn everything off. And then the whole machine should go dark. It should just be you, the Death Star, and maybe a little light on the ball, and you have to shoot the Death Star's final shot perfectly, or game over. Game over. All right. And I say this because I was playing video games last night, and I was playing Call of Duty, and there's all these different modes in Call of Duty, right? Video games have modes just like pinball machines. But the difference is a video game allows you to select your experience, right? This maybe an easier way, because a lot of you guys are old. You remember GoldenEye on Nintendo 64? The way you could pick, like, Golden Gun. You could pick Rockets in the Stack. You could pick Team Deathmatch. You could pick Free For All. Why doesn't a pinball machine, when you're playing with your friends or playing four people, allow you to select different modes to compete against your friends with? So that it's all just not about the same thing, which is score. And I think that is, to me, the biggest creative problem with almost all pinball machines now, because it's always the same thing. Is if you want to play with your friends and you want to play pinball, the only creative thing we've ever thought of to do is to make high score the deciding factor in who wins the game. And I don't understand this. Like, why can't we get more creative code that would open up a fun experience to more and more people? Right? Like, you could have a game where it's just, all right, every player gets 2 minutes to see how many times they can hit the pop bumpers, and whoever hits the most pop bumpers wins. All right. That's cool. Like, again, not the kind of thing that a tournament player or someone who wants to get to wizard mode after a half hour may want to select that mode, but why not make different modes where that's the key, right? How about the fastest person. This game's all about the fastest person to start all three multi-balls. Or this mode's about the first to destroy the ring in the quickest time. Like, that's what matters. We're not going to... The rest of the score doesn't even matter. We're not even... It's not even going to tally up score. It's just going to tally up achievements as you get to destroying the ring. You know, when I play Tales of the Arabian Nights, I don't give a fuck about the score. It is fun when people come over to see who can save the princess from the genie. And that game was designed for that solely. So what I would like to see in terms of more creativity from these designers, guys, is stop making the code all about just scoring and learning how the modes stack up and learning how to manipulate the scoring, because that's all it's become. It's more fun when the coding is actually creating modes that are enjoyable, but it doesn't have to be about score, right? And I know, like, that's where it gets, like, really satisfying for me, is when I get to, like, there and back again. But, you know, I digress. So, look, I think that pinball is the coolest thing. It's so much cooler than arcade games, than video games. The randomness of it, the art package in a pinball machine is so awesome. And I think we just deserve more creativity for what we're spending now. I really do. And I applaud Dialed In when I saw it. I mean, Lawler's trying new things. And yeah, he missed on the art and he missed on the theme. So now he needs more magic to pull him out of that. What I don't understand is this. When you're going to build something now that's going to be between $8,000 and up, how you cannot go down a checklist of, here's the following things we need to do to make this game sing. And just go art, playfield, magic, right? Theme, code, and music, right? I think, you know, display would be the last thing that really matters and is the last thing that should matter on a pinball machine. I don't even look at the display on Tales of the Arabian Nights. I don't need to. That universe tells me everything I need to know just by looking down and playing it. So I really, you know, I really hope creativity can increase. And I want to see new designers enter pinball. The problem is all the great designers out there, the creative game, like the guys who understand how to make games fun, no one's in pinball for the most part. They're all making video games and app games, and because that's where all the money is. You know, Pat Lawler might make $1 million making a pinball machine, but the guy who makes Minecraft makes $1 billion, and that's just where the world is right now. But I think it's an exciting time for pinball, because I think these manufacturers know that people have the money to invest in these toys, and so that the onus is on them to deliver things that are truly magical. Now, I will say this, for all you guys out there that are just running after every new machine Stern puts out and spending money, regardless of the quality, regardless of how much magic and creativity is in that machine, I think you guys are supporting the lack of creativity, the lack of magic. We need to send a message that only machines that tick all the right boxes will get our money. And if machines fail to deliver, we should move on to the next. And, you know, like, I wish if I was, like, giving advice to these manufacturers out there, I would have had Andrew had another 8 months to a year. I would have had him redo the art package on Alien the same way Jack redid the art package on Hobbit, right? I do find it ironic that the person who was suggesting so much that they should redo the art package on Hobbit was also the guy who did the art for Alien. But no one is really saying to redo it now, even though there's been such delays. So that's it, guys. This is episode 80 of Canada's Pinball Podcast. I think creativity is only getting halfway there with what we're seeing in pinball nowadays. And I want to just end this podcast by saying, you know, I want more guests. I want you guys to come on. I don't even, like, care, like, about, I mean, I get a lot of good emails, but it's more engaging when I can go back and forth with some of you. So I'm waiting for some people to get back to me with their schedules. But for you listener out there, you see how this show goes. It's so easy to come on and talk pinball with Kaneda. Come on, let's talk about these things. And we'll go from there. And there aren't going to be as many podcasts until there's some more news too, because I also don't want to just get up and say things just because I feel I need to fill air. I really will not do that. I need to be inspired to do these podcasts, not just toss stuff up. So come on, join the show. It's fun. It's enjoyable, and I think you'll have a good time. Well, that's it. Episode 80 of Canada's Pinball Podcast. Have a good Thursday, people. Go get drunk tonight.